Accession number 18614, Reel 7.
Jack Holness, Reel 7. We were still undecided as to which way these soldiers of the Cremona Division would jump. Some were quite pro-German, others were pro-Allies. The awful thing about it was being armed to the teeth, and we in the garrison had little or no arms, just a few revolvers, the odd few rifles. We were not a combat unit, and they walked the streets with their arms slung and mixing with the populace there. We were very, very glad when they were moved on, because we thought anything could happen with regard to these people. They were rather in a mutinous mood. So we're very glad when they were moved out and block. And as time wore on and the Allies got further north, things started to happen. As I say, I won't go into a lot of detail of what happened during the time we were there, but we apparently did a good job. However, all the training that went on, we had established a place which was more or less 4,000 strong, the garrison, with students and what have you, over the time. Eventually, we were informed that the school was to close down, vis-à-vis the fact that the army had moved so far forward upon the on the border, that knocked Jerry that far back. And it was announced that it would break up, most of it would be closed down, but they had decided to move the School of Mechanics out of the Central Med Training Centre. The School of Mechanics would go up to Padua. The Army PT School, which had been part of the training centre, would go to a place called Udine, which is on the Italian border with Yugoslavia. Certain people were sent, heads of department, staff sergeants, people were sent to certain places, back to units or posted here and there. I was approached because I hadn't got my full time in for what we called Python, time expired abroad. Would I go to Udine as the CQMS, the quartermaster of the Army PT school? There was several others of the staff going, and a couple of officers who I knew, and they approached me and asked if I wanted to go there. I said, have I a choice? They said, the other choice is they're asking you to take over the School of Mechanics as the order room sergeant, come pay sergeant, all the lot. That meant all the administration of the School of Mechanics at Padua. It would have been promotion. Udine would have been promotion as a CQMS. I decided, because of the certain two officers were going up to Udine, not what I would call the most efficient of officers, I decided that I would be rather lent upon and be a bit of a lackey for these two junior officers if I went up to Udine on taking promotion. Also, I would have reverted to what they call normal rates of pay as a quartermaster, whereas as a chief clerk, I was a sergeant clerk, chief clerk, sergeant clerk. I'd passed the exam for that, and I had an extra, I think, about a bob a day, or whatever it was, shilling a day for that. So I decided I would accept the post at the School of Army School of Mechanics at Padua. Gradually, everything closed, and it left the School of Mechanics, which was in a part of Benevento, to move. I joined with them with some more of the REME instructors, who were the mechanical engineers there, and the CO, Lieutenant Colonel of the REME. And I was asked to plot the route up to Padua, the best route to take, because I was going to take a convoy and act as CQ mess on the drive up to Padua, which was about 600 odd miles from Benevento, through the Apennines and over the Pontine Marshes. I studied the map, mapped what I thought was the best route up, and there had been transit camps established at various places along the route, and I took a 22 vehicle convoy, driving my own 1500-weight truck at the head of the convoy, and acted as CQ mess. That meant I had to see to the needs of all of them and see they were fed and all the rest. And we had a chuck wagon with us, cook's wagon with us, and you could only travel between 15 and 20 miles an hour in convoy then. And the Pontine Marshes, which a lot of people are not aware of, totally flat, totally straight roads for miles and miles and miles, somewhere about 50 miles, just totally uninteresting, with the odd little farmhouse here and there. This was Mussolini's collective farming idea along the Pontine Marshes. There was I remember along the marshes, there's a big dike all the way, this stretch. You could go to sleep whilst driving so easily. And then when you'd leave the marshes, you climbed up into the Apennines, and on this route, right up into the Apennines. Up there, you would be in great court order, covered up, muffled up in hail and ice, right up in the mountains. Terrible conditions up there, terrible driving conditions. Work your way down again onto the plains, and there was bright, warm sunshine. All your gear came off, and you were drying out and sweltering. The conditions were like that, even in good weather on the marshes. As I say, you had sunshine and wonderful warmth, and you climbed up into the Apennines, and you're up there in the snows and hailstone, with a lap full of hailstone whilst you're driving along, because there were no windscreens, were just open in those days. And we got to a place called, I think, Termoli in Italy. And as luck would have it, we'd lost the chuck wagon on the convoy. It had dropped off somewhere along the route. Nobody reported back up front. We had a dispatch rider with us up and down the convoy. And I was informed that we'd lost the cook's wagon, and the lads were rather hungry. This was the first leg of the journey. We'd done about, say, 200 miles. It took us 3 days to get up to Padua, actually. And I said, not to worry. Nearest transit camp, I'll go in and see what I can find out, see if I can get some food. I walked into this transit camp, and I met a senior NCO or whatever. I said, is it possible to see the captain quartermaster? Well, I said, what's your problem? So I told him. Oh, all right. Showed me through into an office, met this captain quartermaster, and explained the situation to him. I said, because I piled the agony on a little bit. I said, they haven't eaten for 24 hours. They haven't had a fag ration this week. And I eventually came out of there, having signed my name to various bits of paper with the a day's 24-hour rations for 100-odd men, these 20-odd vehicles, and also got filled up, the vehicles got filled up, and I got a tin of cigarettes for every man. That was wonderful. Went back to the man, said, we're okay now. About 5 miles further on at the next pull-up we had, there's the cook's wagon, and I'd managed the day's ration for... So, like any other true soldier, I filled up the box on my truck with whatever I could, spare fags and tins of bacon, tins of sausage, which I had for long enough after that. And the rest of the journey, fairly uneventful, after 3 days, rolled into Padua. And there we were established in what had been Italian barracks, but it was in much better condition. It hadn't been knocked about too much, and we were given quarters, rooms, four sergeants to a room. We thought we were in heaven because we had a wash hand bowl in the room, albeit it had no bottom in the bowl, so we had to have a bucket underneath it. But we still thought we're in heaven because we had running water. And we even built ourselves a bathroom. The engineers, the REME people and the engineers established an oil-fired boiler, and we established a bathroom, so we thought we were in heaven. We were given the what had been the officers' mess, Italian officers' mess quarters, as a sergeant's mess, so it was... To us, it was excellent, excellent quarters to be in. And we settled down there too, and I took over the whole administration of the School of Mechanics at that time. But I was only there, I suppose, I had about 7 months to do, 7 or 8 months to do when I went up there before I was due to go home on time expired. 4 years abroad.
Are we in 1944 now?
Yes. Well, we're coming into... Yes, that's right. We're coming into 45. Yes, into 45. When things finished up and the war in Italy come over, 44, 45. I was in 44 in Benevento, moved up. It was 45. Because I came home... I left Padua on the day before New Year's Eve, 1946, New Year, yes. Yes, it would be... I forget a little now, but I think that was it, because the I had been expecting to get news of going on. But prior to that, I'm just moving off a little bit fast. Prior to that, the Army Council decided to give leave to personnel with over 2 years service in any theatre, having been abroad for 2 years or more. Things were getting quite decent at that time, and they decided that there was established something called LEAP, which was Leave in Addition Python, Python being the time expired, 4 years abroad, and you went home, come what may. But leave in addition Python was to be given for, I think they got 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks or a month, I can't quite remember. So when it first started, and my position being in charge of all the admin, obviously I got all the information first, and I had to put all the names in the hat of people who were had done over 2 years were on the staff. Well, funny enough, I had the longest service in myself. So I put my name in the hat first. I had 3 years, two or 3 years, three in. Took these names into the CO. He sorted through them. Took mine out. He says, "You can't go." He said, you'll be going home soon. You're too close to it. You can't go." He made the decision, his colonel, for his own reasons. I should have been allowed to go and even come back. But he took mine out. Now, there were various sergeants on the staff who maybe had 2.5 years. I had somebody assisting me in the office, so he'd only been out there about 2.5. He came out of the hat pretty quickly. People between 2.5 and 3 years. I had to document them all, prepare them for going home. It was a very hard task, bearing in mind I hadn't seen home for all that time. But I had to document these people, and friends, sergeants in the mess said, "Well, shook hands with me, we're going off on leave. You won't be here when we come back, Jack. All the best," and all the rest of it. I was still there, having seen them all off on a leave and back again. Imagine my feelings. Very low, very, very low. So some time after, and having a friend at what we at the Allied Force headquarters, which was established around the area. At that time it was in Rome. And I was always in touch with a staff sergeant friend. And one Friday, towards Christmas 45, my dispatch rider came in with the dispatches, which I used to go through and take what was wherever, to the adjutant, to the CO, put them wherever they'd have belonged, sort them out. And one signal among them said, "All Python personnel, be prepared to move Monday, so-and-so, blah, 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 to Bologna on this particular time, this particular date." It was then Friday. This was referring to Monday. On the signal, it said, "Previous signal refers." Immediately, I see this. I picked up the phone, got onto FHQ, this staff sergeant, quoted the reference of the signal. "Previous signal refers. I haven't seen it. Never received the previous signal that apparently had said, Python personnel, be prepared to move within the next 2 weeks," or something to this effect. I got this on a Friday afternoon. The signal was to move on the Monday. I walked into the CO with this signal, put it down in front of him. He picked it up. He said, "Does this affect anyone, Sergeant?" I looked down and just said, "Just me, sir." He knew. He knew. He'd seen that signal previous. I hadn't seen it. He said, "You, Sergeant?" I said, "Yes, sir. And this time, no one can stop me from going home." And that was Friday afternoon. I'd been training up a corporal to take over the office for me. I got hold of him. I had keys to the desk, which a lot of security stuff, which I used to do, a lot of top security stuff for the colonel. And I gave him my keys. I said, I'm just going off for a medical. I've just been in touch with the medical officer. I've got to go and have a medical. I'm on the way out on Monday morning from here. So this is what happened. I went for a medical, cleared. And on the Saturday, we had arranged in the sergeant's mess to have a bit of a dance and buffy. And we'd invited the local military nurses that were around and a few locals who were working for Allied government at that time, Italians, and we invited them to this get-together, this dance. And I well remember the cook sergeant had created a buffet out of what rations we had and what we were able to purchase locally, and we'd got a few flowers from somewhere and decked out part of the mess area and invited these people in. And I well remember that they declared the buffet open and the local girls swooped on it, absolutely. And they were stuffing sausage rolls and rolls and different foods down the front of their blouses, even in the stocking tops. And everything vanished quickly. The flowers and everything else just vanished. I always remember I didn't even get a bite that night. But it turned out to be my farewell to the mess. And that night, on the Saturday night, the sergeant's mess gave me a send-off, more or less. And on the Monday morning, there was a 1500 white truck there, towed off with got all my equipment together. And I was taken to a transit area in Bologna. And Bologna was a railhead. That time you could get trains. So trains were running from Bologna to Milan at that time. And I remember the lads in the school, these REME lads, they were very clever engineers, and they built me a model of a Jeep, a very heavy thing, for my fiancé's nephew, little boy, to bring home. It was very heavy. And this I had in the top of my kit bag. And I well remember at this transit camp, when there was any movement, so we got out of, in and out of trucks, what have you, and there was a baggage party laid on of the lads, the private soldiers. Baggage was piled there, and then it had to be loaded into a vehicle to be taken to the railhead. Got a good laugh one time. A little Royal Engineer sapper picked up my kit bag. I see him now. And he turned round, couldn't see me. I was standing somewhere on the sidelines with other senior NCOs. And this voice said, "Who's this bloody Sergeant Holness, Coldstream Guards? Bloody kit bag ain't half heavy, mate." So, having heard this, I walked across. I said, "I'm the bloody sergeant, Coldstream Guards." "Oh, hello, Sarge. Your kit bag's heavy." I said, "Yes. There's a Jeep in it." He looked at me askance. He's being funny now. "There's a Jeep in his kit bag." Laughing, turning to his mates. So I opened the kit bag and showed them the model of the Jeep, which I must admit it was very, very heavy. They'd built it to scale. It was a lovely job. I had a great laugh over this. Eventually, we moved down to the railhead. train there, understanding, having been put off at that time from flying home, we had first been informed that we would be taken right down to Naples, and we would fly home in Lancaster bombers, because that was what was happening at that time in good weather. They took you down to as far as Naples, and you were placed in a circle on the floor in the bomb bay of a Lancaster bomber. You were told to get into that circle. You're given a magazine or whatever to read, and a haversack ration, and told you were there for 7 hours whilst they flew you home in the bomb bays of the Lancasters. This was the procedure, and you had to cut your kit down to a certain weight. This I had done, expecting to get down to Naples, and then, due to the weather conditions, it was cancelled, and we were told we were going by train. Eventually, I think, yes, New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, that would be 45, obviously. We got on the train at Bologna. I went into a compartment, and there were two lads already sitting there in the corner, more or less dozing off. And I greeted them. There were two privates in a Scottish regiment. I got into the train with another couple of NCOs, and we're on our way. These two lads more or less woke up, turned out to be Scotsmen. I said, I'm disgusted. Couple of Scotsmen, it's Hogmanay, and you've got your heads down in the corner. And I was carrying a half bottle of whiskey in me, or a quarter bottle of whiskey in my Bren pouch, in my battle dress. And I pulled that out and wished them a happy new year when they had a drink with the whiskey. We got on the train, eventually arrived at Milan main station. And there we were allocated places on this train. It was known as the route was known as the Medlock route. Mediterranean leave something or other, I've forgotten the exact Medlock route we were going home on, which turned out to be the route of the Orient Express in actual fact. We boarded the train. We know it wasn't leaving for some hours, but we were there. We were given a compartment, four senior NCOs to one compartment, six private soldiers, whoever, to the other. But we thought, well, this is not so bad. Standing in Milan station there, we knew we weren't going for a few hours. They're still loading the train from various directions, people going home. And we'd seen a tea bar at the end of the platform. There were sort of gates across the platform, but there was this tea bar outside. The military police were very much in evidence. They were the people in charge. And two of us, out of the four, decided we'd take our mugs and we'd go and get a pot of tea down at the end of the platform. We'd divested ourselves of our kit and everything, our packs and kit bags.